When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Midday Show, Andy and Randy. It is Abe Gordon here filling in for Andy Bunker on a hump day Wednesday.
Hump day.
As we head towards the holiday party, the much discussed, I guess, holiday party. Looking forward to some fun tonight. Looking forward to some fun on Sunday afternoon for once. How about that? Because Randy, and you know how I am. It doesn't take much to get me going. And I had a lot of things that I wanted to say as I joined you here for the show today. And I went to bed last night early.
Okay.
I was asleep. I didn't know until 5 a.m. this morning that I had to redo the whole rundown.
Oh,
I was they made the announcement, I don't know, somewhere around like 8:30 last night that Michael Penix is going to be taking over for Kirk Cousins. And I did not know until 5 in the morning. You found out immediately when you landed in Atlanta. Within 20 minutes, you were aware and started to formulate some thought. It took me a while to figure it out because the first tweet wasn't exactly concrete. I had to check some emails and figure it all out. I had to redo the whole rundown because everything I was going to say about what's taken so long, how is it not this obvious, that's all gone. Yeah. And now we have a discussion of what exactly is this next thing, next phase going to look like for Michael Penix. I'm excited. It sounds like the majority of the fan base is excited. For you, we excited about this? Is it more like you just couldn't continue to defend the other side of it? Where are we at?
I don't necessarily put excitement about it. More curious about, and talking about Michael Penix. I mean, I understand why Ra had to do what he had to do. And I think that, you know, if you get bench after a win, that says more about, you know what, we just wanted to see if we can go out there and see if we can get more confidence and more, you know, whatever, juice and things like that, and it just didn't happen. So they had to make this switch right now. It's against the opponent they're going against, you know, this team. They don't want to win any games because they're in a battle with the team they just played to get the number one overall pick, but they do have those guys up front that can give you problems as far as Dexter Lawrence and the two pass rushes. But, yeah, this just had to be done, and it's charming and engaging as Ra is. You can just tell it was getting to a point where he felt that it was time for a change at that position, because when you struggle in this league at any position the way Kurt has struggled, you got to make a change because you're the liability. Now, I know they gave up plays in Minnesota and everything like that, but over this last 5 weeks or whatever, he's been the constant bad about this offense, and I don't think it's one of those things where, you know, you found out late. I saw he did his presser early, and then later on he wouldn't have made the decision. I think it was more or less he wanted to make sure he told Kurt before he told the media or something like that. I guess that's my guess on the whole thing. He didn't want to answer the questions as far as making the announcement in front of the media yesterday.
Right.
Doing it on his own time and things like that. I guess had to go over some things with Arthur Blank because I'm pretty sure he was like, what the hell? I gave y'all all this money to get this guy. What the hell you mean he's not starting? That could be in so many different scenarios. But the young kid gets his opportunity to start his first NFL game. And, you know, usually when this happens, it's usually the season is done. Just like when Desmond Ridder started and all those different things, season was pretty much done. They're still in this thing. They're still in this NFC South race. They're still kind of in the outside.
Still the wild card race.
In the wild card race, depending on what goes on with Washington. So, there's still a lot to play for. And this young man, and he gets his opportunity this Sunday at home.
The email hit my inbox at 8:39 last night. Here's what it says. It's a press release from the Atlanta Falcons. It's pretty straightforward. After review, we have made the decision Michael Penix Jr. will be the Atlanta Falcons starting quarterback moving forward. This was a football decision, and we are fully focused on preparing the team for Sunday's game against the New York Giants. Look, you talked about it. Raheem met with the media yesterday, and maybe there are a number of reasons. I'll tell you what wasn't a reason. It wasn't because they hadn't watched tape yet.
No.
It wasn't after 30 minutes of review from the win against Monday Night Football against the Raiders that they decided, man, we really do need to make a change. So the question to me, and it comes in a variety of ways, is what did ultimately lead for this to be the decision now? I thought you could have made this decision at various points over the past 5 weeks. I certainly thought you could have made the decision now. Again, it would have been a road game. It would have been on Monday Night Football, but right. You had an extra day to prepare. You were going against essentially the worst team in the NFL.
And they're bad.
You would not have known that there was no Max Crosby until later in the week, so that really wouldn't have input into the decision. But you mentioned it. This is a short week now. Because of Monday Night Football, you're in the middle of a playoff hunt. This decision is definitely opponent-based.
Yes.
I think you can't ignore the fact that if we were 1 week further down the road, I don't know if Michael Penix is starting on the road in Washington.
I mean, it's hard to say that now because I think that, you know, so what if Kurt plays well on Monday night, this is not a switch. But he saw it with his own two eyes, like, okay.
I think, I
got to get this guy out of here, man.
Wasn't that the final straw, though? Yes, like, yes. He knew what the Raiders are and are going to be.
Yes.
And he gave Raheem Morris, he gave Kirk Cousins one more opportunity to show that whatever it is still in there. And he didn't show it.
No, he did not.
And that was the final straw.
And I mean, how much was that on the game planning also? I mean, they were not going, and I think you probably saw it.
But the game plan was because of the previous four games as well.
Okay, we got to go out there. We got to give ourselves the best chance. We got to give this offense a spark because they got weapons that are being underutilized. And Kirk just doesn't see it. And I mean, I've said it. I've heard other guys who played in the league for a long time, who analyzed the game on TV and everything, and all of them say the same thing that I said. I just ain't never seen nobody fall off like this, you know, during the season, just completely just – it just goes off the cliff. And you know,
be healthy.
We can talk about injuries and everything like else, but it's just been bad, and he's just not seeing the field the way he needs to see the field. Obviously, we'll talk to Dave Archer in a little bit, but yeah, it was only a matter of time, in my opinion, that this was going to happen if he continued to play that way. Because in this league, when you're a liability, especially at the most important position in the game, you got to go, especially if you have a first-round pick quarterback behind him. Now, how they did the switches, say, I was thinking about this, like, say, for instance, who was the backup quarterback when he got here? Was it Taylor Heineke? Would they do this for Taylor Heineke? There's no way in hell they would have did it.
Of course not.
They're going to do it for this kid right here who is, I mean, he's very mature. A lot of people thought he was the most pro-rated quarterback coming into the into
the draft. He's 24 years old.
And so hopefully, you know, he has the abilities to give you something else. But, yeah, this was, in my opinion, a no-brainer.
Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons analyst, as you mentioned, going to be joining us here in just over 30 minutes at 11:40. Mark Schlereth, who had some comments yesterday on TV, also going to be joining us at 1:20, and we'll get some thoughts on him. I know he had been calling for the switch, certainly after Monday Night Football, and so we'll hear from him as well in our final hour. This hour of the Midday Show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker today. The other question for me, and it's part of what led to this decision now, at least in my opinion, is what's the goal for the Atlanta Falcons the rest of the way, and how do you accomplish it? And I ask that, and is the goal to make the playoffs? Yes. But it doesn't stop there. And I think that's part of this discussion. Once you're there, what can you accomplish? And I think to me the premise was, could you still potentially get to the playoffs with Kirk Cousins if you kept him these last three games? Potentially.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if you will with Penix either. But potentially, sure. The question is, what would you have done with Kirk Cousins once you got there? You're not winning a playoff game. I don't care if it's at home or not, with bogus roughing the passer calls and blocked punts. Like that's not going to be good enough to win a playoff game. And so that's the other aspect of this is, this is more than just getting a head start on next season. There is still potential for this team to be very good. The pass rush is up a little bit, and they're getting some things done a little bit defensively. Obviously, the Raiders aren't a huge test, and in theory, neither are the Giants. Right. But look, you go back 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, and we're talking about winning a playoff game. Can they compete with the Lions? Yep. Can they? I mean, is that still in there potentially with Michael Penix? And he has to be good. And there's obviously a situation where he's maybe not that good and doesn't make that big of a difference. But I think it was worth the risk at this point, because making the playoffs is irrelevant if you get embarrassed at home once you get there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was always this thing where it was always the motto of win the South. But then it's like that was always that just seemed like that we gotta run the South. But there was never any. And I understand, you want to win your division, all those different things. But then it seemed like this is going to be the first year we just want to win the South and get in there and give ourselves a chance. But then it looked like when they were 6-3, they might have a chance to get in and maybe do some things. Now,
right.
you just don't know, because we haven't seen Michael Penix. We've seen him in the preseason. We saw him in mop-up time, but we haven't seen him start to finish against playing NFL football. I know that the Giants are horrible, but yet they're still an NFL team with some players, especially defensively, that can cause problems. So I'm anxious to see him go out there and play and everything like that. I don't have – my expectations aren't that he's supposed to go out there and throw for 300 yards. They're going to skill.
It's going to be a similar game plan,
him,
right?
They're not going to give him the volume unless for some miraculous reason the Giants' offense sparks and then you're in a damn shootout.
Or if you can't run the ball like you did, right?
And I just don't see that happening. So, yeah, he's going to get out there, get his feet wet, things like that. They still got to play well around him enough for them to win the football game, because he can't go – I'm not saying he's going to go out there and win it on his own. But some of those throws, some of those lanes that are there where Kirk won't run through them to get 4 or 5 yards, he's going to take that green grass.
Yeah. What did Cousins throw? 18 times the other night? 17, 18 times?
Yeah, something like that.
I feel like you're not really opening it up much more than that unless you have to.
I
think the game plan should be relatively similar, and I'm not going to be overly disappointed if the stat lines are similar as well. A pick, an interception, a touchdown.
No picks.
You don't want any, but
picks.
I mean,
no picks.
I have some concerns.
No picks.
I have some concerns about what I've seen
no
thus
picks.
Far. But yeah, I think if the run game's going, you're going to ride that the same way you did against the Raiders as well. Our team's going to be able to blitz as much as they did. That's something against Penix as compared to Cousins.
He's still a rookie. Hell yeah, I'm going to light his ass up. It's the NFL. Rookie quarterbacks, until you show me that you can pick
until,
it up,
right.
Yeah, they're going to come after him.
I agree early. Yeah, I wonder if that holds.
If he can beat it, then obviously they'll go away from him.
And obviously the difference is he could beat it with his arm, but potentially can beat it with his legs. That was not something you had there with Kirk Cousins.
Right.
I got a couple more questions for you about Michael Penix and someone else this decision could affect. We got all that coming here in What's Trending on the other side. We'll be back in about 6 minutes. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think we got to go through the process. I think, you guys are catching me at a different moment of time than we've normally been. You know, we've had more time. We have more time to think about all the things that we've happened. And we're at the process right now. And we're still looking into those things and doing the things that we do as an organization just in general. So, having a late game yesterday, going into the short week, doing some of the things that you have now is a different time frame than you normally talk to me.
That was Raheem Morris speaking yesterday in a press conference before the decision was made to switch up quarterbacks and start Michael Penix Jr. And Randy, I guess the question I would have for you, the first question I have about all of this is, when do you think it did, like, forget why he waited and the delays, you already talked about that last game. When do you think he knew?
Who?
Raheem.
Probably halftime.
Like, I mean, he yeah. Probably.
I mean, and then you come back and first pass out of halftime, he throws an interception.
I was wondering if it was, it was the first play.
Yeah, it's probably like, all right, man. But, no, I mean, you know, usually, Abe, when you come back on a flight, and especially if it's a night game over, you know, I mean, way back across the country, a lot of times you don't watch it. But most of the time, the coaches are up there in the first class watching the tape already.
Even you know? Without tape, you know what happened.
He keeps saying tape. That's why I refer to the tape part about it.
He also probably had a barometer for what he needed to see, yes. Right? I mean, that was the other thing. There was a line where he had said, all right, we need Kirk to be here, and if he's not, we're going to have to make this change.
Yeah, but my thing is, like, I keep wondering, because, again, I've never seen somebody in season fall off the way Kirk is falling off. Kirk's never played this bad in his career.
Right.
He's never played this bad.
Not multiple games in a row.
Yeah, he just never played like this for a stretch. And so it goes back to, you know, because he said it 2 weeks ago, Kirk's earned a right to get us up out of this and everything like that. But as we talked yesterday, if you heard his comments after the game, that was the first time that it was like, okay, this might be a situation where there's probably going to be a quarterback change.
And again, it was probably the timing of it. Yeah. In terms of dealing with the Giants, who I don't know who their starting quarterbacks are going to be either.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That's part of it. It might be Tim Boyle or DeVito. I don't know what's going on with those guys either. I know you've talked about this before. You certainly addressed it when Michael Penix Jr. was drafted. Just real quick, how much does him being left-handed matter to the guys that are playing around?
I've only played one left-handed quarterback in my career. That was David Green, and didn't pay any attention to it because a lot of people were talking about how the ball spins differently and things like that. His ball's coming at you, catch it. The spin don't make your hands no different. If the ball's coming to you, you catch it. And so I'm not going to go in there with a built-in excuse, and neither are any of those players going to go in with a built-in excuse as far as, okay, the ball's coming out a different way. The ball is spinning differently, and that's why it's harder to catch. No.
That's the last time I'll ask you about it.
That's never an excuse for it when you're out there playing receiver.
I just wanted to get that on record.
Yeah.
Longtime NFL analyst Field Yates thinks that Michael Penix can really jumpstart this Falcons offense.
This guy can move a little bit, and that was what had become so jarring for the Falcons right now, is that Kirk Cousins' lack of mobility, which might be because of his age, maybe the Achilles, maybe just the fact that he was never a particularly mobile quarterback, had reached a point where this offense was so, so limited. If there was not a perfectly clean pocket, things were not going to work out well in this passing offense. Yes, there's risk, and yes, Michael Penix Jr. might have some growing pains, but it's a good spot playing against a very, very poor Giants team on Sunday. Chance for Michael Penix Jr. to take the reins. It was the only move that Atlanta could make. And as far as the Falcons are concerned, while there's disappointment with the way that Kirk Cousins had played, there is some excitement as well because Michael Penix Jr. is electric.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and that's also the thing because, you know, and I get asked this question a lot, is, you know, the losing of the locker room type thing. And it's like one of those things where I've been in a situation where it was a quarterback issue. And it was the compensation they gave up for the quarterback was the reason he was starting. None of us wanted him, but, you know, you went along with it. But right. As the season went along, you got to a point where you're like, well, damn, coach, you know. And I think – I don't want to say that's where the Falcons receivers or players are at. But don't nobody know about this situation better than them because they see it. And you're in that damn locker room. You're at practice. And you're like, damn, man, this is – you know, you just feel it. And so sometimes – I don't say you lose the locker room, but sometimes you got to listen to that, not people coming to you directly if you're the head coach, but you can feel that energy is like, come on, man. Especially because I know Michael Penix is up there lighting that thing. People got to tell me, oh, I heard Michael Penix is lighting up in practice. Yeah, damn right he is. The dude, he has special talents, you know, but yet, you know, he's going to get all the first team reps. That's always going to be valuable. Starting today, he's going to get all the first team reps in every drill that they have, and it's going to try to continue until he goes up. They're here. So, I mean, all the way up to Saturday, he's going to be one of those guys who, you know, Saturday you usually get the afternoon off and everything before you come back for night meetings. No, he's going to be in that building all day Saturday trying to get this game plan down, get the comfortability with Zach. I'm sure there are going to be some different plays. There are going to be some movement plays.
That's what I was going to ask. You got it.
And everything like that. Now, the biggest thing is because, you know, the only thing, you know, there'll be more boots less than boot rights.
Right.
You know, because he's left-handed, you want to keep that ball in your strong hand. But, yeah, I mean – I think the playbook will be scaled down, but I think other things will be added to it and a lot more movement with him in the pocket. Obviously, I saw a stat this morning, it was like 96% of Kirk's passes have been from the pocket. That's by
where else were they going to be from, right?
The most in the NFL.
Yeah.
And so when you look at that, like Phil was saying, like he never been a mobile guy.
One of them non-pocket passes that flip into the end zone.
He just like he just don't move. As they talked with us on Monday, his feet aren't live. His feet aren't alive and things like that. And you kind of saw it again, and you're just like, and that's why I keep saying I ain't never seen that like it. You know what I mean? It's just a fall off the way he did. It just baffles me.
The other thing that I want to say is Terry Fontenot's clock has started because if he's going to catch heat for the Cousins decision to begin with, that's one thing. But I've always said the lifeline for Terry Fontenot in this whatever hot seat discussion you want to have, it was extended because of Penix.
Right.
And if Penix works out, he catches a break, right? And he catches a break is not the right term, but you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a three-game decision, but I'm saying now that Penix is a starting quarterback, the pressure's really on Fontenot because there will be a point probably next year where if it's not working out with Penix,
that's the last. There are certain things as far as either the GM and everything like that. And, you know, first of all, none of your draft picks are really helping out. You know, I mean, you had a couple yesterday to make some plays Saturday, some defensive linemen that we've been waiting to see do something. They had a really good game and everything.
Braylon's been hurt all year.
And we knew that was going to happen. Yeah. Roro's been in and out of the lineup because of injuries and everything. Obviously, Michael Penix is the first-round pick, so we knew he was a backup quarterback, so he wasn't going to play. But, yeah, this is a situation where Terry is he's right there because you got to look at it. If you're Arthur Blank – I didn't gave this dude, and I still think he's going to be the starting quarterback next year, talking about Michael Penix. So this whole Kirk's done as the quarterback in Atlanta. So I've given this dude almost $90 million for 14 games. And, I mean, because Arthur Blank didn't say, okay, I mean, as far as, like, they're telling him to go get Kirk Cousins. He's like, well, how much is he going to cost me? Well, they're saying, well, this is the number right here. You don't think Arthur Blank was like, you think at first he was like, all right, go ahead. No, he had to think about it and everything. I'm going to give you $100 million of my dollars? You know, and for this not to work out, it better work out. And they need to be in the playoffs. They need to be in the playoffs. They can't come up short I'm just telling you. I think the head coach is fine. But you know, the
problem there is you don't control that.
Something's got to happen. You know what I mean? Something's got to shake. I know the quarterback is there, but something else has got to go.
We got more Falcons discussion coming again. Dave Archer's going to be joining, and then certainly in the final hour, we'll talk about this again. We got Mark Slayer, so plenty coming your way. NBA Cup wrapped up last night. Milwaukee Bucks beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. Giannis.
Unbelievable.
26 points, 19 boards, 10 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. He leads the way. It just NBA Cup MVP for whatever that's worth as well.
He was unbelievable. And I think that a lot of times, you know, one thing I know about Giannis is he's one of the best players in the NBA. But when he's playing defense the way he played, he was outstanding yesterday on the defensive side of the ball. And then obviously having Dame there, I mean, they've been at the slow start. I'm talking about snail slow start for this team. They've been one of the hottest teams in the NBA. And their biggest thing is that they shooting the lights out.
They were talking about breaking it up like 2 weeks into the season.
I know, but I mean, and they're what is Shaq calling the others? They're shooting the hell out the basketball, man. I think that's one of the biggest things. Now, can they keep up that kind of hot shooting pace that they have? I don't know. But, I mean, the others around them are playing well. And, you know, Giannis is locked in on both ends. I mean, this dude, he is one of the best players in the world for a reason. And I think after this tournament, they put him back in that, quote-unquote, MVP conversation or whatever because he was outstanding the whole time. He was like, against the Hawks, he was like, okay, let me stop playing around with y'all. Let me stop playing. Let me go ahead and force my will. And that's what we did yesterday. Oklahoma City is the best team in basketball. Now, they couldn't hit a damn shot in the second half, but yet, you know, Milwaukee kept pouring it on, kept, you know, getting those easy baskets. And before you knew it, game was over, and they are the
NBA Cup?
No, what's the – Emirates?
Emirates. Yeah, the Emirates NBA Cup.
The Emirates NBA Cup champions.
The other thing, and I know you and Bunk have talked about this at length, he didn't have to play this way. Only 11 free throws last night, which means the game actually has some flow. But you could see how dynamic he is when he's allowed to play in just the flow of a game. And he was outstanding last night. We're going to go to some college football discussions in our next hour as well. The Memphis gets bowl season kicked off, and they win the Frisco Bowl over West Virginia. Wild final play. involved an interception. The guy that intercepted the ball then fumbled the ball, and you're seeing if there's turnover, but that didn't happen. The big news, though, out of college football, and I got some questions for you when we get to it at 12:20. Mike Vick.
Yeah, man.
Looks like this is going to be a done deal. Still waiting for the official confirmation, right. But everyone's saying it's done, including Vic himself, Norfolk State.
Happy for him. Happy for Mike to be able to bounce back and everything like that and get an opportunity. You know, he's from that area and everything like that. And, you know, they're going to put some good coaches around him and everything because he's very inexperienced at what he does and everything. But, I mean, that just gives, you know, Norfolk State some cachet because of who Mike Vick is. And I really hope that it works out for him, man, because so far, I mean, you looked at where Prime went. Prime had a great Jacksonville State. Eddie George coaching his ass off over there in Nashville and everything like that. And so hopefully Mike can figure out a way to get this program. Obviously, they're a bad program, or else he probably wouldn't be there. But he is there, and hopefully he can find a way to get that program turned around and have some more success like Prime and like Eddie has had.
I definitely want to have some discussion about that in just under an hour because I have some thoughts and some questions about what's going on in college. And it's just some interesting hires, interesting decisions being made. And then there's obviously the other discussion we have to have about the schedule. Bowl season continues tonight. The Boca Raton Bowl.
Yeah, man.
You excited?
Who's playing that?
Western Kentucky and James Madison.
Oh, yeah, I'm all excited about that.
You've also got the L.A. Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Cal and UNLV.
That should be a good one.
It could be.
That should be a good one. That should be. I mean,
now, UNLV's lost.
Yeah.
Their head coach.
They lost their head coach.
You know, a couple of players in the portal.
We were just talking because I saw that we were having fun about Washington State yesterday. Their quarterback's probably going to – no, not probably.
Quarterback John Mateer's in the portal.
I saw their really good corner is at Georgia this week,
cool.
Visiting Georgia. And then found out this morning their head coach is leaving.
Jake Dicker is going to Wake Forest.
Yes.
Dave Clawson kind of stepped down, but he's still involved with the program.
Yeah.
He's not a big enough name that he kind of lurches over a new head coach hire, which is good. Sometimes you get some of those, like Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin was just kind of there, and Phil Fulmer, too, became the AD, and you're like, all right, man. Like,
take your ass on somewhere, Phil.
Can I coach this team?
Take your ass on somewhere,
I get
Phil.
You still want to be down here. You're trying to fire me so you can be the interim, but, like, calm down, man.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
All right. This hour of the Midday Show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I know you guys spoke to him on Monday morning, but things have changed. You got to win. You got a quarterback change, and so Dave Archer is going to join us next, Atlanta Falcons analyst, former quarterback, and chat about what the latest is, because things are definitely a different feeling there at Flowery Branch. So that's coming up next here. It is the Midday Show. Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one right here. What the Falcons got to do. No looking back now.
Welcome back into the Midday Show. Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker here alongside Randy McMichael. A lot of Falcons here in the first hour. And it was probably going to be this way anyways. It was just a different tone that I was going to have.
Because it's going to be the same tone, Abe.
What? No, no, no.
It's
going to
be the same. It was going to be the same tone, Abe.
No, just trust me. The original rundown I had, I was going to warn you before I went into it, and then I was going to get into it. But we're feeling a little bit different, and so are the feelings in Flowery Branch. And want to go out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons analyst, former Falcons quarterback. And look, it's been a wild, 72 hours? You go from the game in Vegas and then obviously the flight. Everyone's all sleep-deprived and you have a press conference, and Raheem hasn't made a decision yet. They're still working through some things. And then we get a press release at about 8:39 last night that Michael Penix Jr. is going to be the quarterback moving forward. I think the first question for you, Arch, and good morning, is pretty simple. What ultimately led to this decision?
Well, good to be with you guys. Obviously, a little bit of changing the guard here. And it's funny, Randy, how many times the Boston songs kind of fit what we need? You know, more than a feeling sometimes.
Hey,
don't look back. Both. You know, we get Boston's hooking us up, aren't they? It's an interesting situation. I think that ultimately what leads to the decision, to me, I've heard a lot of analysis about this and a lot of people making their spins and all this kind of stuff. If you have to call the game
to protect yourself from the quarterback hurting you in the game, mm-hmm. then it's time to change.
Right.
And they have not done that until Monday night. Monday night, he called, Zach Robinson called the game to prevent the quarterback from beating them. And when you're that position, now you've got to do something because he's hurting you. Up to that point, they had not done that. They had cut Kurt loose. He'd made some mistakes, certainly. He'd made a lot of plays as well, but enough plays negatively that it contributed to a four-game losing streak. On Monday night, you quit doing that, and you actually called the game to prevent him from beating you.
Dave, when you go back and look at these 5 weeks and everything like that, did it get worse in your opinion, or was just like it was just bad for those 5 weeks evenly?
Well, I think there were moments in all the games where I thought that Kirk did a lot of good stuff.
Right.
I mean, you go back to the Minnesota game. That game is tied 21-21 going to the fourth quarter. He guided you back. Now, certainly the run game was a big piece of that, but he made a number of big-time throws. The big throw down the sideline to Mooney. Mm-hmm. He made a couple of big third-down conversion throws in the Minnesota game, and he guides you all the way back to where you're tied 21-21 in the fourth quarter. So to say that everything has been bad through this four-week stretch is not fair at all. Mm-hmm. Now, he's had some moments, and certainly the most glaring moment, and now the way Tampa handled the L.A. Chargers, your old team, Randy, for us to have lost that game, that almost looks like the worst loss we had. I know the New Orleans loss sticks out in people's minds, but you couldn't lose the L.A. game, and the main reason you lost the L.A. game is because your quarterback threw the ball to the other team.
Arch, how did things change for Zach Robinson and then, by extension, the offense as a whole?
How did they change? I think that the only thing that I saw change in the game was Robinson's reluctance, certainly on Monday night, to turn him loose. We didn't throw the ball on first down the entire first half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's unheard of, to not try to mix it up, especially the way you're running the football. No play action on first down, nothing. You ran the ball every time on first down. Our first throw on first down was the first play of the second half, and Kirk threw an interception.
Yep.
I mean, to me, nothing really changed during the four-game stretch. He was trying to probe and find stuff that was comfortable. Now, the way things changed probably were a little bit more during the week game planning to try to find, okay, where are you comfortable? Where are you uncomfortable? You know, what is it that's causing that uncomfortability? You know, where are you worried about things? And Kirk is such a cerebral guy that I think his mind got so cluttered with stuff that he couldn't control. How is our defense playing? How is this receiver running his routes? How is this guy doing that? He's one of those kind of guys that overanalyzes everything, and I think ultimately, you know, the addict just got stuffed with stuff. There was too much stuff up there, and it was overloading him, and that's it began to shut down the whole system.
Dave, how do you change up, or how do you go if you're the coordinator and everything like that with the new younger quarterback? Obviously, I was saying it earlier, the boots will go more left than right this game, obviously. But what kind of game plan do you see them maybe going to help Michael Penix in this next week in this first start?
Well, first of all, you'll have a boot in the game. I mean, you haven't had any boots
right.
in the game at all. You're running wide zone, and the counter to wide zone is the boot off of it. You haven't been able to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Penix brings that to the table. Now, to think that you've just inserted Michael Vick in at quarterback, don't get delirious on that. And I know you guys aren't, but the fans maybe see it. NBC number 7, he's left-handed. Oh, we're going to get guys running. Quarterback's going to run all of it. That's not what Penix does. Okay, Penix is a pocket passer that has the ability to move, and you're going to be able to do some stuff like you're talking about. Move the launch point. Change it. Come with some bootleg stuff off of it. And I don't think they'll exclusively boot him to his left side.
Right.
I mean, you can't do that. You know, defensive coordinators are going to say, well, the only way they boot is to the left. I'll have a guy wide out. I'll have a guy in a 9 technique. We'll just take away the boot. They won't be able to do that. He'll have to boot against his arm. But what it will do is it will insert it into the game plan. And you will have the ability when things break down. And as much as you'd like to throw the ball on time, drop, hitch, throw, ball comes out. Randy, you know that's not the way the game's played. Most of the game is played, you'd like to think 50% of the time you can throw it on time, but the other 50% of the time, you're having to buy time. You're having to slide. You're having to move in the pocket. And Penix is really good and his pocket awareness and moving in the pocket. If you go back and look at his time at Washington, I thought he was outstanding, not running with the ball, but just moving in the pocket to provide himself an opportunity to get the ball out. And I think you saw a little bit of that in the only game he played was against the Dolphins in the preseason. He did some of that.
Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons analyst, joining us here on the Midday Show. Abe in for Andy alongside Randy McMichael. Arch, a couple years ago, we had a veteran quarterback that lost his starting job to a younger quarterback, and he essentially bailed on the team. I won't name any names, but I think we all know who we're talking about here. And I think we all would agree that Kirk Cousins is not that type of guy. So with Michael Penix taking over QB1, what does Kirk Cousins' role become to assist him?
Well, having had a chance to be around these guys a lot, Abe, and being in practice and talking to these guys post-practice, talking to these guys around the games on road trips and stuff, there's a really pretty good relationship between the two. They did a really good job of combining thoughts. And one of the thoughts of having Kirk Cousins here with a guy like Michael Penix was for him to be able to see how professional preparers and some of the extra stuff that Kirk does. And he's an over-the-top preparer, so I think that'll help Penix. But now Kirk's ability to maybe help him when he comes to the sideline, hey, what do you see in here? It'll be conversation, and it's nothing that hadn't been going on already. I think he and Penix talk a lot during games as well when he comes to the sideline. And Mike's been pretty good about absorbing what this team is offensively. He's done some things to help Kirk on the sideline as well, even in practice. From what I understand, those two guys, there may be something that Penix walks over and reminds Kirk, hey, don't forget about this. I mean, that's where Penix is in his mental preparation for the game. Remember, this guy played 6 years of college football. So it's not like he's some guy that's just fallen off the turnip truck. He's played a lot of quarterback, albeit not at this level. But there's no question this is a roll of the dice a little bit, guys. Mm-hmm. You've got a young quarterback that you don't want to damage mentally. You want his psyche, you know, but he's a tough kid. I think he's gonna embrace it. I talked to him after one of the preseason games. I said, hey, were you nervous when you got your first action there against the Dolphins? Because, no, I don't get nervous. Because I just get excited. I just get excited. So that's who you got. You've got a mature kid that's going to step in. I say kid, he's 24 years old. He's going to step in. And I think he's relishing the opportunity.
How do you think about how do you go about getting him ready? Obviously, he's going to take all the reps with the ones in practice and everything. But outside of just what they're doing on the grass, I mean, is it, hey, you got to stay 4 or 5 hours afterwards with us? Obviously, Saturday morning, and they have the meetings, but Saturday afternoon, no off time for you. Just going to be here. How do you go about doing that without overloading the kid before his first start?
Yeah, I don't think you change anything in that regard, Randy. I think that obviously there's going to be a little bit more time one-on-one he's going to spend with Zach Robinson. I think T.J. Yates has done a good job from a quarterback perspective. You know, he played the position in this game, so he'll probably spend a little more time with Michael from a preparation standpoint, just from a, you know, going over the game plan. What are you comfortable with? But, you know, a lot of that stuff will work itself out in practice as he takes his reps. So I think that you don't want to necessarily change too much of the structure of a day, because then he senses that, okay, people are uptight. You don't want to be uptight around him. You want to be loose. You want to be excited with him that he's getting this opportunity and know that they trust him and they trust that his preparation is good enough. So I think it's a fine line. You make a good point. How much more do I need to get him ready? Don't overdo it, because you don't want him anxious, saying, "Oh God, they don't think, I don't know if they trust me here. They're not sure I can get this done." You want to alleviate any of those thoughts.
Atlanta Falcon analyst Dave Archer joining us here after the Atlanta Falcons have made a quarterback change there. Michael Penix Jr. will be making his first start on Sunday. And look, the quarterback's not the only issue with this team right now. I've got to ask about Younghoe Koo. He obviously missed a field goal. The team made a decision to pass up a couple of middle 50-plus yard field goals as well. Do you know of anyone that's going to be at practice? Has the team announced any tryouts? Or are we just stuck watching Younghoe Koo sometimes hit and sometimes miss?
Yes, that's a tough one too, Abe. You know, there's so much mental stuff that goes into the kicking piece of it, and I think that Younghoe has been really pretty good in his career. I mean, let's not forget that the guy kicked a 57-yarder to win a game for us here just about a month and a half ago. So, but it has been a little bit lean. I mean, he missed one again this Monday night that probably we wouldn't have had to wring our hands there at the end of the game waiting to see if someone's going to catch a Hail Mary to see if we win the game. You got to score points. Most of these games are one-score games. I know they've had a couple of guys in, and I think they've had a couple of guys in. They actually signed a guy last week because Younge was nursing a little bit of an injury that they have on a practice squad. So I think they've got some alternatives should they decide to go that direction. I have not heard anything that would indicate that they're moving away from Younge Koo, but he did complain of an injury late in the game. I don't know if it was after that last kick, but they'll do some evaluation, and there'll be maybe an announcement today. This is the injury report day, as you guys know, so they may get on it a little bit.
And final question for you, Arch, and again, it's not all negative here. We got to talk about the pass rush.
Yeah,
they have really woken up. Four more sacks in this win against the Raiders, and I don't know. It just feels like they're finally starting to impact games, and they're really making work what they said. It just be patient. We feel like we're close, and we heard that for weeks and weeks and weeks as we were worst in the NFL at getting after the quarterback, and now some impact finally being made from that group.
Yeah, I thought they made some interesting changes, Abe, in that we saw a lot of loose coverage early on. Before the bye week, a lot of soft coverage guys off. I thought they tightened their coverage some, and I think you'll continue to see that where guys are going to come up and play some press. Now, press bail maybe, but at least they're not giving away the short, easy throws. Mm-hmm. And the quarterback, you got to make the quarterback hold the football. Randy will tell you, we can't get home pass rush wise if the quarterback can hit his back step and get the ball out. Mm-hmm. So you got to make him hitch up and hold the football. Fortunately, you've had a couple quarterbacks over the last couple weeks that like to hold it. So that's contributed to putting sacks and getting the quarterback on the ground. But I think Jimmy Lake and the guys in that defensive meeting room have done a really good job of redesigning some of their stunt packages. And Randy can dive into this when I get off. But they're doing a really good job of timing their stunts, looping guys back to the inside, some of the speed rush guys coming from outside in and getting on some of those guards, and it's created interior pressure. And you guys know that whenever you watch a quarterback, interior pressure is the worst thing you can get. And the last thing for you guys as I get off here, the one thing they haven't done, they've done since the bye week, is they're not rushing past the quarterback. They're keeping the same level of the quarterback, meaning he can't escape through the middle, because if he does, those guys that are on the edge are collapsing back inside to pin him and not allow him those easy angles through the pocket. They're having to escape outside the pocket or around the pocket. So you got to keep your level of the quarterback that can move around. So those are just some of the things that I've seen. The good adjustments by those guys since the bye week, and wow, they're paying dividends, right?
Arch, appreciate the time. Look
appreciate
forward to breaking down Michael Penix's first start with you at the same time next week. Thanks so much.
Thanks, fellas. Have fun talking.
Appreciate it. I lied. We're not going to talk with them next week because you guys are off.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I forgot. I'll text them and be like, hey, my bad. The schedule gets wonky. Next week.
It does.
I don't have to deal with it because I'll be gone.
You'll be gone. Cruising again?
Yeah, man.
That's two cruises in like 6 weeks, huh?
A little more than 6 weeks, but yeah, okay. just about 8 weeks. Yeah.
Hey, man. Have fun, dude.
Got to get some. Well, you know, since I wasn't able to take that trip to Vegas, you know, all expenses paid, you know,
hey.
I got to.
Hey, man, I just go.
I got to ask my mom for the all expenses paid cruise.
I just know where they tell me to go, man.
I feel you. All right, hour one down. When we come back, a little bit more of Falcons talk, but also want to dive into some other NFL stories and no huddle. And then Mike Vick getting hired at Norfolk State. I have some questions, some observations, more so than questions about that. So looking forward to that discussion as well as we continue hour two coming up next on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.